to the JetPort Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Text line, you will be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. Always appreciate the feedback. Keep them coming. Still to come on the program about an hour from now, Dale Jackson, WVNN, and Yellowhammer News. And in the 11 o'clock hour, former State Senator Dick Brubaker, formerly a candidate for Congress, but has resumed his normal appearances here on the program. But joining us now, it has been a few weeks since we heard from him, but always a pleasure to introduce my next guest. Represents North Mobile County State Representative Shane Stringer. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for having me on again.
Hey, thanks for coming on. We always appreciate it. Well, it has been a while since we last talked. How has the, I guess it's not really time off ever, but how has it been going?
Yeah, I've been running smooth, just, you know, staying busy with meetings and work and family and everything else. So never a dull moment.
Well, and, you know, we're kind of looking around. It doesn't, we haven't really had any like big state level controversies, and then just being in the news business, representative, like, I mean, it's a very much a very presidential election focused news cycle. That seems to be probably true for a lot of what's going on for you, I would imagine.
Yeah. Everything's kind of quiet, you know, just paying attention to what's going on around the world and what's going on in our federal politics and, you know, trying to stay abreast of that and anything that might affect Alabama or our constituents.
Well, and the one thing where your stars really shined, I think, Second Amendment. Tell me this, and I know we've discussed this probably ad nauseum, but we're still seeing it, and I think it's a cop-out, but blaming, you know, constitutional carrier, or even, you know, more specifically, the Second Amendment for the uptick in violence in some of our urban centers. And I mean, this is where you do have apples to apples comparisons, but that's not really stopping the institutional left in this state from blaming the Alabama legislature for their own problems on the ground, Montgomery, Birmingham, et cetera.
Yeah, and that's not uncommon. We've seen that across the state and across the country. We're seeing it right now where the Democrats are gaslighting and, you know, they're trying to reverse everything, trying to blame anything and everything except for the root problem, you know, and a lot of that is just the lack of policing and proactive policing. You know, you've got to get out here and address the problematic areas, regardless of where they are, you know, whether they're in a white or a black community, you've got to address them. And if you do that, you do keep things under control and keep the peace. But a lot of people, they want to defund the police. They don't want to support and endorse their police. But yet, you know, they don't understand why crime happens and why the things are getting out of hand or out of control. And, you know, they start blaming, you know, and anybody with any common sense would know that it's not the lawful gun owners that is the problem. And the Constitution carry, that's exactly what it addressed, was the lawful gun owners. These thugs, rapists, murderers, and all of those are not running down there standing in line buying pistol permits. That is not going to, you know, solve anything. So, like I've said from day one, a $20 piece of plastic does not stop a evil-hearted person from doing wrong. So I think we're going to continue to see that. It's gone on throughout time where, you know, they're blaming anything and everything. You know, Trump's getting blamed for the border right now for not agreeing to a border bill that was not even good. It was not a good bill, and, you know, he ain't even in office. So, you know, it just don't make sense, but that's just the way the Democrats, you know, conduct themselves, and that's what they do.
What have you been seeing around on the ground, Representative? You know, we see these trends, these spikes in crime, particularly in the summer months. But I don't know. I've been very head into clouds, very myopically focused on a lot of the national trends. But it seems rather subdued this summer compared to past summers.
Oh, yeah. You know, and the statistics will show you, you know, the city of Mobile, their crime rate dropped the most it had dropped after Constitution Carry passed since 1994. So it's or 84. It's been a long time, you know, and that shows you right there, you know, the more lawful gun owners that are carrying weapons are, the safer we'll be. I mean, the statistics will show you that most of your major crimes are prohibited or stopped from a lawful gun owner, not the police, because as a police officer, we can't be everywhere all the time. So we just do what we can do. But the lawful gun owners is the ones that help protect us and keep us safe. And even the polls have showed that. Police One did a poll that showed that 71% of the police officers believe that more lawful gun owner people that carry was going to help protect us and protect our communities.
Hey, let me ask you about this. Now, one of your colleagues, Philip Ensler, there in Montgomery, already got the, he's already pre-filed a bill. He's just out of release, and the lead of the release, he's got a bill to create create a state level offense banning pistols converted into machine guns with trigger activators. Machine guns may be a little bit of an exaggeration, but how serious of a problem is that? That these guns are being converted into something that repeats and mechanically, or I mean, does it warrant an act of the legislature? You think?
It's not as bad of a problem. We do see it in law enforcement in the form of a Glock switch. But you know, there's already a federal crime. The federal prosecutors are already addressing anybody that's caught with those. And you know, my thing is, if we're going to do anything, let's do something that's going to put anybody that commits a crime with a gun that has one of them, then we can put extra penalties or stiffer penalties on them. Let's address the bad people. The people get confused and think that the Second Amendment is a group right. It's not a group right. It ain't where if Jeff Poore goes and does something stupid or crazy or bad that I should lose my right. So let's address Jeff Poore. Let's address the bad actors that are doing this. And I'm all for stiffer penalties of anybody that uses a gun during a crime. I'm all for stiffer penalties on those that use a crime that has the Glock switch or any other activated switch. But other than that, I'm not for it. I don't think that addressing or coming after lawful gun owners is the way to do this.
But, I mean, we do this over and over again. That's what they'll do. It strikes me as, like, if you don't like the Second Amendment, then why don't you move to repeal it? But it's never that. It's just we need to kind of nibble around the edges. It's not an honest discussion of where these whatever gun control proponents really, really stand on the issue.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. That's why you're not going to see it in a, probably on a state level, because there is enough Republicans and Democrats that and independents that carry guns and believe in the Second Amendment that you're gonna come out on the wrong side of that if you try to push that type of legislation. Now, on the different level, we're seeing the vice president, she's mentioning, you know, trying to do away with assault weapons, and you know, I think that's just the tip of the iceberg. I think she'll eventually try to come after all of our guns. And you know, I think we've got to, got to make sure that we are very informed on this election and what their intentions and policies are going to be, because this could be very bad for Second Amendment and, truthfully, probably every other amendment.
Well, they'll wait till there's potentially some kind of mass shooting circumstance or something along those lines, right? To roll out it's almost like they're waiting for this tragedy. And then there's a somewhere in Washington, D.C. up on a shelf is a bill that they'll assign a name to, or maybe even make it bipartisan and roll it out that would, I don't know, what do something. It's always like it used to be the gun show loophole or whatever. It's totally separate from the incident itself. but that seems to be the play.
Yeah, I mean, that's typical, and that's the way it's always been, and I'm sure it always will be. But, you know, take, for instance, they've opened the border. We've had millions of illegal immigrants and a lot of bad, bad immigrants, gang members, MS-13, the Venezuela gangs, and everything else that's moved into our states and our country, and they're out doing a lot of harm. And, you know, even the FBI director is saying almost every day that we are expecting some kind of a major event to happen, you know, kind of like maybe, you know, like it happened in Russia in the theaters or other areas. And so, you know, they've created this grave risk by opening the borders and letting anybody and everybody come in unchecked. So when this happens, I mean, instead of coming after guns, they really need to take ownership and, you know, admit that they screwed up, did wrong, but you'll never see that.
Joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. Moving on to other things, something else has been quiet, and I just haven't seen any stories or much about it. US 45, and you think maybe it's because some of these things that the Alabama Department of Transportation has done, maybe speed limits and whatnot, is maybe actually kind of working a little bit to keep that from being the catastrophe it has been over the years?
I think the only thing that they've really done that made a substancy difference is the rumble strips in the middle of the road. You know, I see it day in and day out. I'm behind a car. They go over, they hit the rumble strips, they come back. So I think that's definitely helped in a major game changer for this. But still, the traffic is bumper to bumper. I mean, it's just backed up forever. So it has helped. But at the end of the day, far as, you know, getting first responder vehicles through 45 to get to house fires, to get people to the hospitals and that kind of stuff, something's got to be changed. We got to have some asphalt on the ground.
Yeah, I think so too. But you always bring this up, and just for the sake of our listeners that maybe haven't heard you talk about this, there's a bridge replacement underway on 45, and the way they're building it, they could be building it in a way that, you know, anticipates potentially the widening of the highway. But instead, it's as if we're going to go another 50 years with never ever widening Highway 45. And, I mean, number one, it's just kind of troubling that there's no forward-looking analysis of the potential there. But, I mean, do they believe that they're just going to be able to push this one off and off and off that long?
You know, and I think they must believe that. But, you know, I try to look at things with common sense. I try to look at if there's a potential, if there's a chance we're ever going to do something there. Just like there was a bridge on Highway 98, deadly 98, at the Mississippi line that was unused for a good 25, 30 years. And finally, they did the four lane out there, and that bridge is being used now. It's finally being utilized. But we could do stuff now. They keep complaining about the price of the project and, you know, the cost of paving the full amount. And I get that. I understand that. But the fact is, we could be doing stuff like any bridge that has to be replaced, let's go ahead and do it, you know, especially on an area that we know we're not going to be moving the road. That could be, you know, changed to a four-lane bridge. There's a lot of stuff we could be doing. I mean, the state, I don't think, or have any concerns or desires to four-lane it. If they did, they would be taking steps. I mean, we've been pushing, or I say we, I've been pushing for them to look at doing it kind of like the pay-as-you-go program in Mobile County. And let's just to tackle certain sections of the road, like the most deadly, until we get it to where we can do the rest of it.
Well, I just don't think that we're being told like a real story, because where the real need in this state is with regards to road and bridge improvements, there's other priorities that come ahead of it. And we just, and the public ought to know this stuff, Representative, but they keep it, I think they keep it kind of on the down low, just like traffic counts, and some of that's on their website, but probably the biggest thing would be, to me, would be try to determine a cost for these projects. Ainsworth's talking 65, how much would that cost? Let's like make a list of 10 things and assign a number to it and get like a real, like real understanding of just how big of an undertaking it would be to improve some of these roads. And then we can compare it to that West Alabama corridor or whatever else they got going on in the state that's underway now. And we could kind of have that real discussion, but it just seems like they don't want to have that. They already got their mind made up.
And I feel the same way. You know, I constantly try to request meetings with Director Cooper and the governor and different ones. And, you know, in the past, they've met with me pretty regular, but it's a lot less now than it used to be. And, you know, we'll just continue to push and make a push for it.
Well, last question on that. And one of the things you hear is, well, if you want to improve 45, and that's, you know, we talked about it for years and years, especially on this show. Do you need to bypass Citronelle?
I don't think they do. I mean, we had a four lane right through town before. You know, their argument is it did not have a passing lane in the, or a turning lane in the middle, but we survived for years and years and years. I mean, forever with that four lane through here. I think that we could survive right here. Now, I think that that is one of the issues or I guess, excuses they use to try to keep from four lane and to try to keep Citronelle from wanting it is to say that they're trying to circumvent it.
Well, I think, like, if we could ever get, like, a number, then, and then we can have a discussion. I don't know. Anybody out there listening that knows how to estimate a major highway project, so feel free to text in 251-343-0106. But I have no idea what kind of number something like that would generate. They just tell you, here's what they tell you, and we'll wrap it up on this. It's too expensive. Bless your little heart. Be on your way. We'll handle the road decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, I would hate to even know, because, I mean, how much was the engineering cost we were looking at on the West Alabama corridor? I think a million a mile or something like that, which is ungodly. I mean, for the life of me, I think we're pricing ourselves out of everything.
And the other thing about that, Representative, is that this fascination, and we talked about this with Senator Elliott last week, with the whole design build phenomenon, and that you kind of make it up as you go along.
Oh, I agree. I mean, we've had it just seems to be that way in everything. You know, we had a problem with the boat launch in Mount Vernon, and been fighting to get it reconstructed and rebuilt since I've been in office. And finally they started on it last Monday, and they're working on that. But in the meantime, the state was hiring somebody to come in there and dredge it out, which took the guy one day to dredge it, go up with a long handled track hoe and dig it out, haul it off. And I think we were paying like $50,000 for that. And I mean, just like, hey, God, that just seemed like an excessive amount to me.
Hey, to cut you out there, we are way long, but it's good talking to you, Representative, and we'll talk again next week or 2 weeks.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Y'all have a great day.
State Representative Shane Stringer there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.